This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome, everybody. We got a really busy afternoon for y'all. So happy to have you joining us. Hope you are enjoying the summer-like weather all across the state of Wisconsin. Here's your lineup on The Maggie Dawn Show for today. Insha Rahman's going to be up first. She's the director of Vera Action. We're going to talk about why immigration actually makes communities safer. Why you don't need to worry about immigrants or non-citizens, non-citizen immigrants voting. All of these things. What does it really mean to have safe communities? We'll talk about that with Insha. Really excited to have that convo. We got Ben Wickler, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, stopping in this half hour. And then Lieutenant Governor, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, former candidate for Senate, is going to talk about the state of the election right now, the racist rhetoric coming out of the Trump campaign. For Maggie and the Millionaires, we've got a former chemistry professor, Beverly Pestel. She is a native Wisconsinite. She's going to talk about how important a fair tax code is to you, because we don't have one right now, and the tax fight of a generation is going to start on November 6th, you know, the day after the election. You're not going to want to miss that discussion with Bev. I'm going to round out the show with some thoughts of my own. It's been a while since you and I talked directly, dear listeners. And I want to talk about Eric Hovde lying and maybe placing fake positive reviews on Glassdoor. I mean, who does these things? And we'll also talk about the endorsement of Kamala Harris from George W. Bush's daughter, Barbara. All kinds of good things coming up these 2 hours here on The Maggie Dawn Show. Might even get to this stupid constitutional amendment that you're going to find on your ballot, which is going to require us to prove our citizenship before we vote. Sounds innocuous, sounds reasonable, but is anything but. It is designed to suppress the vote of citizens. It is not designed to secure our elections. Insha Rahman, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. You are the director of Vera Action. What does Vera Action do, and why is your work so important right now to the average listener here in Wisconsin?
Hi, Maggie. Great to be here. So the work I do is to end mass incarceration and fight for safe, thriving communities. And my C3 organization, the Vera Institute of Justice, we've been around for 60 plus years doing exactly that, working with government and community to actually focus on the right solutions that work to make us safe. And Vera Action is the political and advocacy partner of the Vera Institute of Justice. And through Vera Action, what we are doing is actually helping to make meaning and make sense of what it takes to make our community safe, and how fear-mongering about things like crime, immigration, is all a distraction from real solutions that voters care about. So the work that we are doing is trying like help shift the narrative on these issues and the temperature.
I mean, Insha, let's be honest, it's racist. I mean, that's what it is. It's sort of fomenting our country's worst built-in biases and prejudices. I mean, the fact of the matter is communities that have greater proportions, relatively speaking, of immigrants are actually safer. Or do I have that fact wrong? I mean, communities
with that right. You have that right.
And tell people why. Why are communities safer when they have more immigrants, both those here legally and those here illegally?
Just if you look at the facts and you look at the data, people who are non-citizens are less likely to be arrested and convicted of a crime than a U.S.-born resident or a U.S. citizen. That's just the straight-up facts. And then this will probably make sense to everybody if you stop and think about it. People who are immigrants are part of our communities. They work in our places of business. Their kids go to our schools. When we think about what makes communities whole, America has always been a country of immigrants. That is as much true today as it's been at any other point. And when you put aside the race baiting and the fear-mongering rhetoric and you ask everyday people, and I've found this true across the political spectrum, and you talk about that person who works for you who is an immigrant or that parent of your child's friend at school who is an immigrant, people are like, oh, right, they're not a threat to me. They're not a threat to my community or my safety. But it's so easy to lose sight of these are real people. We are all part and parcel of this country when it is based in racism and fear-mongering.
You know, Andrew, what we hear a lot from candidates on the right is if you are here not on a legal basis, you've already committed a crime. And so you are to be distrusted. Why should people who live in communities with large numbers of immigrants actually feel comfortable and should trust their immigrant neighbors, even if people are here illegally? I'll grant a conservative the point that if someone is here without the proper process, that is a crime. But why is it that that doesn't mean that that person is a criminal or is going to make someone's community less safe?
Look, people who come to this country are coming here in search of a better future. Chances are they are fleeing tough conditions in their home country or violence or other circumstances where they are not looking to come invade any of us. People are coming here to make a better life for themselves, which is what every single one of us wants, right? And this idea of it is illegal, it is a crime to come into this country, that is actually not based in the law. The law is, immigration law is a civil system. It is not a criminal system. So I just want to say that here. But regardless, there's a feeling that people should follow the rules, right? And so that's what offends people when they hear people came here without authorization, without papers. But let's put that aside because we do have a problem with the immigration system and that it's outdated, it is broken, it doesn't have enough means for people to legally come here following the rules. And if we change the immigration system so that we have a fair, orderly, safe process at the border, we have more paths to citizenship, that is actually the solution that works for all of us and helps to get at this feeling of, I followed the rules, why don't they? And to actually get us to the outcome we want, which is, you know, a safe community, safe neighborhoods for all of us.
What works to make communities safer, especially if people are listening and they happen to live in a community that is feeling some of the stressors that having a lot of recent immigrants can actually place on a local government. What does work to make a community safer? What are some of the solutions for local communities that are feeling some of those growing pains, those adaption, that change is difficult and sometimes it does stress our resources? What do you say to those two questions, Incha?
Yeah. So first of all, it is understandable that people are feeling stressed when, in general, people are feeling like they're paying more at the gas station, at the grocery store, they are working hard to make ends meet. And so the first thing to say is, I acknowledge that we all deserve safety, security, and stability. We want that for all of us. And the system that we have right now, where we don't have a smart and functional immigration system, is leading to this problem that you are seeing and feeling, that suddenly there's an influx of newcomers and we don't have anything set up in terms of work permits. Where will they live? What does this mean for basic services, schools, hospitals, and so on? And so what the solution is first of all, in the short term, we need to get people work permits, because if you can work and earn a living, that means you can pay rent and you can stand up on your own two feet. Everybody wants to do that. So that's solution number one. And the federal government can move on that. Congress can move on that. There are some ways in which state governments can also take some measures. There's all kinds of like specific parts of the law that would allow, say, for example, people from Haiti or people from other countries to actually get work permits. They are not here, quote unquote, illegally. They have legal status and can work. So let's exercise that. Let's make that happen. The second part is there are more jobs right now in this country in every single town and city than there are people to fill them. So let's match people to jobs. And then we have seen communities successfully across the country from Chicago and Boston and lots of much smaller neighborhoods actually say, let's volunteer and let's make sure we get folks into English as a second language class and things like that. All this stuff that sort of like helps to demystify the other and make people feel like you are part and parcel of the same community, the same neighborhood I am. So those are the short-term solutions. The longer-term solution is every single one of us, if we are feeling frustrated by the influx of newcomers and immigration, we should demand that Congress actually has a set of real solutions where we put more resources into the border so that we have a safe and orderly, fair process at the border. We can do that. We've done it before. We can do it again. And that we have more paths to citizenship for the 11 million people who are here paying taxes, are part and parcel of our communities, but aren't able to sort of come out of the shadows because we don't have a legal immigration mechanism for them.
Folks, that's Insha Raman, director of the Vera Action and the VP of Advocacy and Partnerships at the Vera Institute of Justice. We have heard from the MAGA movement that mass deportations apparently are the solution to all our nation's problems. Why is that going to make crime worse in people's communities?
Well, it's going to actually make things worse for everyone, because first and foremost, if you ask people and you give them a set of options, mass deportation is one of the lowest on people's choices in terms of what do they want to see government do when it comes to addressing concerns about immigration. What people want, Maggie, is what I said, which is a path to citizenship and to actually secure the border with a fair and orderly process. That said, here's why mass deportation is a terrible, terrible, scary idea. First of all, it will be millions of people who will be subject to this, including people who are here legally and who are immigrants. Everybody will be impacted. And it will take away vital resources from police and other government services to actually enforce trying to deport over 11 million people. It's just not possible. It's rhetoric. It's not a solution at all.
Thanks so much. That's Insha Raman, director of Vera Action. They focus on criminal justice, policing, immigration, ending mass incarceration. You can find out more about her organization at vera.org. Thank you so much, Insha. I really appreciate your time and your great work here. Folks, up next, we've got Ben Wickler, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. I want to know what his take is on that racist, misogyny hate fest at Madison Square Garden and what it means for Vice President Harris's address this evening on the Ellipse. Don't miss it. That's up next here on The Maggie Dawn Show.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome back, y'all. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Big welcome from me and all of our listeners to Ben Wickler, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Good to have you back, Ben. The countdown begins. We're 7 days out, and I do not know what the heck just happened at Madison Square Garden on Sunday. At unforced error of unforced errors in campaigning, who didn't Donald Trump offend on Sunday? What do you make of it? And should the vice president deal with this at her? Should she address it? And if so, how much, when she gives her closing argument, if you will, this evening at the Ellipse?
What we saw in Madison Square Garden was a campaign that is positive it's going to win, that is taking the mask off. And that made plain to everybody what they think of you know, everyone who doesn't look and pretend to pray like Donald Trump. So this was attacks on Puerto Rico, on Jews, on Palestinians, on women, on our vice presidential nominee, on Black people, on just about everybody. And it wasn't just that one comedian. It was speech after speech, including Trump talking about the enemy within.
Again.
After, you know, his own staff have been saying that he would try to lead as a dictator. This is just who he is. This is who he is. This is what he wants to do.
I've got go ahead, Ben.
The closing message in this campaign, it's freedom, democracy, and opportunity for middle class and working folks across this country. And freedom, democracy, and opportunity, that has been our message all the way through. It's what won in 2022. It's what's going to win now. And Trump's message is, if you're different, I hate you. And that I don't know, doesn't seem like the way that you add to your voter base is by just punching everyone in the face.
I apologize to folks listening if you heard me chuckle when Ben said, you know, Donald Trump's closing argument is, if you're different, you don't pretend to pray like I do or look like I do or have $1 billion, I hate you. I mean, I laugh because that seemed to be the message coming from the Garden on Sunday. I've got two really quick cuts for you, Ben, that I wanted to get your reaction to. Not reported a whole lot, mainly because the focus has been on that truly abhorrent comedic set, if you can even call that comedy. Let's start with cut 13. This is Stephen Miller.
The cartels are gone. The criminal migrants are gone. The gangs are gone. America is for Americans and Americans only.
Fascinating. And then this cut, this is cut 23, Carty. This is Howard Lutnick. He's the CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald and co-chair of Trump's transition team. Take a listen.
So the first thing, we must elect Donald J. Trump president, because we must crush jihad.
There's so many weird moments. Those two stuck out to me because the strain of nativism, I mean, this is why the analogies to fascists are made. It's nativism layered with racism, right, to otherize a group of people and to consolidate power around a pseudo-populist message. And then this idea, you vote for Trump because you need to crush jihad. I don't even know how that tracks, like how to put all of this together. Your reactions, Ben?
It just makes me want to either throw up or put my fist through the wall.
Yeah.
You know, jihad means like striving or doing your utmost, struggling with yourself against sin. And it can mean struggle more broadly. But for any... you know, any Muslim person who's listening to this, it sounds like he's declaring war on, you know, a billion people, including many million Americans. And the first one, the Stephen Miller talking about America is only for Americans, that literally is the Ku Klux Klan creed. I retweeted a Ku Klux Klan booklet called America for Americans that lays this out. This is, you know, JFK wrote the book, A Nation of Immigrants. And either you're Native American, your ancestors arrived here enslaved, or you were an immigrant who voluntarily came. Those are the three options. And I don't think that Stephen Miller is talking about Native Americans in that speech. It's a profoundly anti-American idea, just profoundly. So it is inimical to the core idea of what this country is about, what the Statue of Liberty is about, what our flag represents, out of many one, what is on our coins. The idea of America is that we can be a country where if you're dedicated to the American ideals, that you can be a part of this country, no matter how or whether you pray or what you look like or where your parents were born. That is the vision here. And they're trying to attack America at its root. And those kind of are the stakes. They laid it out for us. And for everyone who's thinking about how many friends to recruit to vote in the final stretch of this election, think about whether you want those folks from that stage running this country starting in January, or whether you think we should be the land of the free.
Yes, give me your poor, your weak, your huddled masses yearning to be free. But America is for Americans and Americans only. Thank you, Stephen Miller. Truly disgusting rhetoric. Very briefly, we got just a couple minutes left, Ben. What do you expect to hear from Vice President Harris, both in terms of, is it going to be some clear policies that she's going to talk about? Is it more about some of these bigger ideals and our shared values? Is she trying to appear presidential, or is it like D, all of the above? What do you expect to hear this evening?
My best guess would be D. She's in the ellipse. She's at the place where Trump gave his Stop the Steal speech, where he tried to overturn American democracy, tried to essentially shred the flag, where his supporters were using American flagpoles to beat up law enforcement officers to try to overturn a free and fair election in this country and end the American experiment. And I think she's going to lay out the stakes. And those stakes, you know, having a democracy is what allows us to ensure that the government is actually looking out for working people. Having a democracy is at the root of being able to protect freedoms for everyone, so that if people try to rip away freedoms, you can throw them out of office. So these are intimately interlinked, totally intertwined. And I think she's going to lay out some version of that, and I hope we heed her call.
As do I. Thanks so much, folks. That's Ben Wickler, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Up next, we'll be joined by former lieutenant governor and Senate candidate Mandela Barnes. I'm going to ask his reaction to the racist rhetoric and the point that we're at. And I'm going to ask him to make his case to the handful of undecideds and swing voters still out there. We come back here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back, y'all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Did you know that this Thursday, October 31st, is, yes, Halloween, but it is also the deadline to request an absentee ballot to vote in the state of Wisconsin? Make sure that you have a plan to vote. Get more information about that, how to fill out your absentee ballot application, all those things at myvote.wi.gov. And never forget, here in Wisconsin, we're one of the 22 or 23 states that has same-day registration. So if you don't have a chance to get all of this done or to request your absentee ballot before Thursday, not to worry. Bring your government-issued ID, bring your proof of current residence, and show up at the polls on November 5th. Allot some extra time. And don't forget, your employers are required by the state of Wisconsin to provide at least 3 hours for, not at least, at most, a total of 3 hours to vote on Election Day. You might have to remind your boss of this fact. That's okay, because this election is worth all the marbles. Here to talk about it with me and each and every one of you is Mandela Barnes, the former lieutenant governor of this great state of Wisconsin, former Senate candidate, my friend and yours. Welcome back to the show, Mandela. Great to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really excited to be back here.
No,
how are you?
Well, 7 days, my friend. I'm exhausted, but excited.
Well, 7 days, maybe.
Yeah, 7 days. Plus, whatever happens next. How are you doing? I mean, I'm exhausted, nauseous, nervous, excited. I think she's going to win. I hope she really, really drops a hammer. We're in final arguments right now. How are you feeling?
I mean, I feel, as someone else said, nauseously optimistic.
Yeah.
I do truly believe we can pull this off. I truly believe we can win. It is going to be an uphill climb, as we always knew, right? Like, you know, I think that during August and September, I think a lot of us got a little too excited and it felt like it was almost a guarantee, but it should never feel like a guarantee. If it feels like a guarantee, that means you're probably going to lose. So I think that a lot of us has come back to reality, just given shifting polling numbers, given shifting sentiment, given that a lot of the heightened level of excitement has sort of come down a bit. And that's just natural, right? And I think that Kamala Harris as a candidate is knocking it out of the park. I think Tim Walz as a running mate has provided just an incalculable amount of addition to the ticket. I mean, what he's brought, his energy, the way that he communicates compared to the way that she communicates,
yes,
two totally different perspectives. And I think that it encompasses a much broader swath of America. And I think back to 2018, you know, Governor Evers and I, we spoke very differently. We had two very different experiences, and I think it spoke to a larger population of the state.
I've had a couple of like, this seems that there's some odd familiarity to the Harris-Walz ticket to the Evers-Mandela-Barnes ticket back in the day. For very much had those moments. One of the things that I enjoy about Governor Walz is the guy keeps it 100%. It's always, he just speaks in his own voice. He can call Elon Musk a dip guano with, you know, and it fits because, yes, that's how the guy behaves. I think this is going to, if she wins, this pick of a VP is going to go down as some pretty brilliant politics. Because, again, I think it diversifies her voice. He's got his own stylings. It's fun to watch them together as well. They genuinely like each other. I want to ask you, so much attention being paid, appropriately so, but I think a lot of hand-wringing as well to Black men and the vote of Black men in this election. A lot of consternation coming from Dems about not just Black men, but Latino men as well. And maybe is Trump able to peel off some support? I remain shocked by it because we watch some of the most virulent racist nonsense we've seen since the 30s in Madison Square Garden. And I struggle to understand why a person of color would feel persuaded by a candidate that so openly embraces racist rhetoric virtually daily. Well, as a Black man, Mandela, like, if you want to speak to other Black men that may be listening, if you want to address this issue, I don't want to ask you a particular question that boxes you in, but speak on it, my friend, because I'm struggling with this.
Yeah, I'll say that a lot of weight has been put on people of color in general in this country to save this nation, a nation that has, you know, has not always delivered for us. And all of a sudden, you know, the expectation that democracy is in our hands to many voters feels sort of disingenuous. But to that point, I will say that a person, a Black person especially, who's had a similar experience in the world and in America, I don't see how there's any reason to vote for a Donald Trump who stands against every aspect of our quality of life, has never included us in the process. He can say all he wants to do for Black people, Black men, but the facts do not match the rhetoric. As an executive, and I put that in air quotes, the Trump organization, how many Black ranking people are in the Trump organization in executive level positions?
Zero.
In the Trump White House, how many people besides Omarosa? And she has a story to tell about her time in the Trump administration. So don't get caught up in what he is saying to effectively try to get you to cast a ballot that is counter to your interests. Look at what he's done in times of leadership. But I will immediately pivot to the fact that there are white men, working class men, and young men who are also voting counter to their own interests. Many people who are voting with some sort of spite. But think about how many people in organizations, that in companies and businesses that we spend our money with every day are run by people who are voting for Donald Trump. Think about the decision that they are making, whether it's them hedging their bets, thinking that they will be spared the wrath of a Donald Trump presidency. But doing that, even though the people who spend their hard-earned dollars with them will be impacted by a Donald Trump presidency, the people who are, in banking, And, you know, you can look at numbers of folks who have been and will be denied, you know, banking opportunities, whether it's a mortgage, whether it's any other sort of loan or opportunities to gain some financial footing. I think about people in high rise law offices that may say, you know, Donald Trump, that guy, he may be racist, but I still think that's my guy. And these are people who are respected in communities who are voting and supporting one of the most abhorrent people to ever seek the office of president, certainly the most in my lifetime.
Oh, no doubt. And I want to just reemphasize and thank you for saying this in response to my question, Mandela. I've said it on the airwaves. I've talked with my colleague Earl Ingram about this. I hated the fact that in 16, that outcome was put on black folk. It wasn't. It took millions of Americans to say, well, he might be a racist, but that's okay, for that outcome in 2016 to be what it is. Black folks have saved America again and again and again. And lest we forget, there's a whole lot of white people that have incredible responsibility in this moment as well, to make it beyond policy, to understand that someone that is this blatantly power hungry, that puts his own interests above absolutely everything else, including the Constitution, including the country, and including each and every single person in the middle class. If you get a paycheck, Donald Trump does not care about you unless you can cut a $1 billion check and command the Twitter universe and the tech bros to help marshal, you know, supporters. He does not care about you. I wanted to give you a little sound, little snippets, just to get your reaction to some of the things that were said this weekend, Mandela. Take a couple of these cuts, if you wouldn't mind, Cardi. Let's start with 22, if you don't mind.
From Jerusalem, they want to do this. Like, all of you, listen to me, all of you. I get back and they go, Sid, you want to speak at this MSG thing? I go, sure. Out of character for me to speak at a Nazi rally. I was just in Israel, but I took the gig.
I mean, sick. Cut eight. This is a guy by the name of Grant Cardone.
Not even her simp, Mark Cuban, can sell this. Even Marky Boy says this would destroy the global economy and take the USA down with it. Ladies and gentlemen, Kamala Harris is the least qualified candidate to ever run for any political office in American history. She makes her boss look competent. She's a fake. I'm not here to invalidate her. She's a fake, a fraud. She's a pretender. Her and her pimp handlers will destroy our country.
I'm just going to wrap it because it degrades from there. Like, on an objective basis, she's not the most unqualified person to ever run for president. That'd be Donald Trump.
Let me correct you. She is, by the standard, she is the least qualified because she is the least white and the least male ever seek the office of president.
Thank you, Mandela, for pointing out the completely obvious misogyny and misogynoir that operates in our country. But but if her name was Frank Smith and she was a white guy, then by credentials, she would actually be the most qualified for the job. Your reactions to just all of what happened at the I don't even know what to call what happened at Madison Square Garden. Like, your reactions coming out of the weekend, because I knew it was going to be bad. I intentionally didn't want to watch it. But when I saw what I saw on Monday morning, I disgusting.
Yeah, it was as bad as what you could have expected. And I, too, did not watch because I just don't care to watch.
Yeah.
And I knew that whatever came as a result of it would pop up on my feed somewhere. And sure enough, no matter how much I've tried to get away from it and stay away from it, it has chased me. That's the thing. But, you know, it's been allowed to get to this point. You know, it is. And what is this point? Because what is that much different than anything else that has been said, has been uttered, or has been the subtext of these Trump rallies? It is all just starting to the plants are starting to flower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not even starting, but
yeah. I forget what they call that flower that blooms like once every 10 years. And the corpse mm-hmm. flower. Yes. We have a blooming corpse flower right
now. The
one now.
That smells like shit.
Yes, exactly. Oop. Hit the button, y'all.
Sorry.
That's all right. Hit the button.
My bad.
It's that bad. I mean, I agree with you. Now, on the upside, I think this moment has brought a lot of different conservatives out and said, you know, offered an opportunity to be on the right side of history, to say how much this matters, right? To say how much their country matters to them, how character matters. Well, where do you rate this? Because I love asking people about this, because I get everything from like, where the heck were you in 2016 and you don't deserve any credit, to thank you, I'll take it. It might be late, but it's important that you're heard now. And I'm going to ask you when we come back after these brief messages about the Democracy Defense Project. But your reaction, yet another couple of children of notable Republicans, Barbara Bush, GW's daughter. We had the daughter of Gerald Ford this week coming out in support of Harris. Your reaction, should they be applauded or should they be asked, like, where you been?
Well, look, thank you for being here. But again, yes, where have you
where
been?
Where have you been?
And you know, how much of, and it's the same way with a lot of other folks, you know, former conservative commentators who are still very conservative. They just don't like Donald Trump, right? Like, yeah. I think that people need to be held accountable and for their part in getting us here.
We'll talk more about the Democracy Defense Project and what Mandela Barnes is doing to help make sure that your vote counts every time and to make our democracy stronger. And doing that in conjunction with men and women of good faith from the Republican Party. We'll have all that and so much more when we come back on today's episode of The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, y'all. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You got a question or comment for me and my very special guest, former Lieutenant Governor and Senate candidate Mandela Barnes, my friend and yours. Give us a call or text 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. It has been a long slog, to say the very least. And here we are. We're 7 days out. Early voting underway. And I feel like we're having to bring up the things that have been known or knowable about Donald Trump, like, again and again and again, right? What do you say? Do you have any friends that have told you that they're undecided, or what do you say to undecided voters, Mandela? Because it's a struggle for me, because I'm like, what are you undecided about? Like, how do you not know that you can't tell the difference between these two people? And most of the time I hear them give justifications and I'm like, yeah, I agree that those are all really important policies. If you would look stuff up on the interwebs, you would find out that those things that you think are really important, Kamala Harris is the one getting them done, or plans to get them done. What's your message? What do you think?
having had this conversation for almost 8 years now, it is just it's so incredibly frustrating. And I almost feel like I'm not the right messenger anymore sometimes when people say they're undecided. So shout out to the organizers with Power to the Polls, Wisconsin. We've knocked on almost 500,000 doors already.
Wow.
We've regularly had 150 people out there over the last week. Have had some incredible guests. Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal came out. The National Education Association President Becky Pringle came through. Tiffany Mueller from InCitizens United. So we've had some wonderful partners come out and see our work, fire up our organizers, encourage them to keep doing the Lord's work. But I can tell you, I like recently had a conversation in the steam room at the Y. And
no doubt, for real.
Yeah, man.
Where like, the real discussions happen.
Where the real discussions happen. And it's a person I see every now and then. We chat, and you know, really nice dude. And he was he's probably a little bit older. He's probably mid-40s, maybe late 40s, black guy. And you know, he told me he was still undecided. And like, this is the steam room, so I'm just like, I am, you know, it's only so frustrated you can get in a steam room before you pass out. So I'm trying
to,
like,
get too hot-headed because you're already hot-headed.
I'm trying to level out in there. And, you know, everything that he and I have talked about would never have led me to believe that he was undecided in this election. Mm. You know, he's like, yeah, you know, I want to make sure you meet my son. He looks up to you and all this other stuff. And I'm just like, yeah, you know, like, and these are, you know, in previous conversations.
Sure.
And so we were just talking, and like, in my mind, I'm like, I'm just not in a position to have this conversation. And then like a minute or two passed, I'm like, there is no justification for anybody voting for Donald Trump in any election, let alone this one. And I didn't lose my cool or anything. It was just the sentence I needed to say to get the point where it was beyond policy. It was beyond reason. It was like, I'm not sure what you have been getting and from where, but this is the deal. Nobody should be considering voting for Donald Trump, and especially nobody in a position that you are in, whether you know it is as a black man in Wisconsin in America, as a person who seems to have it together, right? Like this is a person who stands against everything, and he brought up January 6th as well, and I'm just and that's what really, you know, led me to drive the point home. I mean, this is a person who's tried to destabilize democracy. This is a person who's committed every foul almost imaginable.
Yeah, like cheat your contractors, offend everyone, be credibly accused of sexual assault, be convicted of a business fraud, be sentenced. Like what?
It is. I mean, anything possibly.
Oh, I forgot the super secret spy documents. Stealing super secret spy documents and talking to Vladimir Putin for unknown reasons 7 times after you were president with the super secret spy documents down the hall. I'm sorry I jumped in.
Yeah, no, it's all good. I mean, it's just too many things. Like, there's so many things to keep count of. And I can see from a person's perspective who is not as plugged in, you know, as those of us who are having this conversation, how they could just be overwhelmed by everything that has been a violation of Donald Trump that people rightfully call out. I get it. I understand that. But this is the effort to inform the voting public about who their choices are, who these people have been in a professional capacity, you know, some in a personal capacity. But we're talking about the office of President of the United States of America here.
Yeah. Folks, that's former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes joining me this half hour as we close out. Tell folks what the Democracy Defense Project is and where they can find out more about it, Mandela.
So I'm really proud to be a part of the Democracy Defense Project. This is a bipartisan group of party leaders or former party leaders. It is myself, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Mike Tate, former Republican Congressman Scott Klug, former Attorney General Republican J.B. Van Hollen. And our goal is to promote safety and security in elections all across this state. It is a program that has happened in a number of battlegrounds, but Wisconsin specifically. Trust your votes that are safe and secure.
Where can they find out more? What's the website?
DemocracyDefenseProject.com, I believe, or .us.
We'll find it and put it in the show notes for today. Up next, no worries, Mandela, I got you. I've got a very special guest, Dev Pestel, a retired chemistry professor. Why would a chemistry professor care about making the tax code fairer? Bev cares, and so should you. We'll be back with Maggie and the Millionaires talking money here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My thanks to the Lieutenant Governor. I'll see you soon, Mandela. And I'll see all of you on the flip side. News, weather, and sports up next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.